Stephen, when I talked to him the other day, was planning on preaching on this passage, and I figured when he asked me, I'd stick with it. So I hope you guys will stick with me. Stephen had told me he had a different plan for the day. I'm sure he did. And I would have had a different plan. I probably would have kind of tiptoed in, but I'm jumping in the deep end. So anyway, it's fun for those of us who get to preach to preach, and I've enjoyed it, and I've learned a lot as I've studied. This is a passage that I think many of us who have been in the church will recognize and know, and I want to just ask you for a second to try to forget not everything you've heard, but not just push the pause button and check out, because sometimes we have a tendency, when we read passages we've read before or we've heard many times, we think we know it. And yet God wants to speak to us maybe in a different way, or to hear something new, or maybe hear it fresh. And so as we look at this passage, turn to Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to be focusing on verses 18 through 20. But I want to look real quick, if you would, look back from there, and you'll see that chapter 4 begins when Jesus is being tempted in the desert by Satan. And you know that he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. You remember all that he went through during that time. But it's interesting, as he is leaving, in verse 11 it says, the devil left him, and immediately angels came and began to serve him. And then it says that he heard that John had been arrested. He withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth behind and went to live in Capernaum to fulfill prophecy from Isaiah. But it's interesting in verse 17. So after Jesus has just come out of the wilderness, just been tempted by Satan, listen to what it says in verse 17. From then on, Jesus began to preach, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is near. I told you guys, I wasn't a great student, but even I can understand there's something significant happening right here. Based on what Jesus just went through, it's telling us in that verse that now it's not Jesus' ministry is changing, but maybe a focus of his ministry is being amplified. He's saying, now Jesus began to preach, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is near. And then you read these next few verses and you get confused. It's like, okay, if I was a leader and I was emphasizing this new message, the first people I go to are probably not going to be these two. Right? Look at verse 18. As he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, remember, we just saw in verse 12 that 13, he left Nazareth behind, went to live in Capernaum by the sea. So as he is walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. And I want to stop you there just for a second. We'll get back to reading it. Y'all know that I've been serving as a director for the Christian Life Retreat Center in St. George Island for the past several years. And when I read this verse, I immediately thought of that environment. I thought of going over the bridge from the mainland to the island and seeing these oystermen with these poles sticking out of the water. Look like post hole diggers. And it's basically like rakes on the bottom of these post hole diggers. And they're about 10 or 12 feet tall, and they're out in the middle, and there's 50, sometimes 100 boats out there, and these guys are just doing this all day long. They rake them up, they scoop them up, they pull up the handle, and they dump them on the like a shelf on the boat, and somebody else is sitting there, and they're doing what they call culling them. They're chopping them into measuring them and keeping the ones they want that are good size and throwing them. So I think about those people. I want to, two people that I know that I've heard preach, and y'all probably heard, Beth Moore and Chuck Swindoll. I love how they make it come alive. They take you back to that environment. So I want you to think for a second. A lot of us don't actually know real fishermen. I mean, I'm not talking about some of the guys that I know, you know, went out fishing recently, you know, just take your boat and go hope you catch something. I'm talking about real fishing. I'm talking about guys that get in a boat and go somewhere. Apologies to those who actually do get in a boat and actually catch fish. I get in a boat and go fishing. There's a difference. So, if you think about that, as Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee, he sees two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the sea since they were fishermen. I had a picture. I don't know if it was there. It might have been the one before that. But not long after I got to the retreat center, this group came down, and this one guy, they were Native Indian, not Native American Indian, Indian. And so one of the things that this guy did, every time I turned around, he's casting to catch fish. And somehow or another, God let me take that picture. I don't know how I did it. But that reminds me, you know, when we read this verse, we actually think, okay, I want to put myself in that place. Can you imagine Jesus? It says, as he is going, he's walking by the sea, and he sees these two fishermen. As he's going, just as a part of his, he's just minding his business. He's walking by. They were casting a net in the sea since they were fishermen. Follow me, he told them, and I will make you fish for people. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. A couple of things I want to share with you this morning. First, it says, as Jesus was walking, he saw two brothers. He was going somewhere. He had purpose. Now, Jesus didn't just get up and just start walking and not know where he was going. He knew where he was going. I'm sure, knowing Jesus, he knew who he was going to see. It didn't say Jesus went to the Sea of Galilee looking for them, but he already knew they were there. As he was going, he saw Peter and John. You know, it reminds me of the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 19, 20. What does it say? Go into all the world, making disciples. Well, that word there, go, literally means as you go. The next picture I had there is an illustration I heard Billy Graham say years ago. They called, some of you may remember, Operation Andrew. The idea was that you, as a disciple or follower of Christ, were to go and find Andrew, find your brother, find someone you knew that you could bring to Jesus. And this picture that I used to share with our students is to think as you go. Remember, last time I was here, I shared from Deuteronomy about how God told Moses to tell the people that they were supposed to teach their children. They're supposed to love the Lord their God and teach their children to love God as they sit, as they rise, as they walk along the way. That's the same kind of idea. That we don't have to wait to have a Sunday school class. We don't have to wait to have a Bible study. It doesn't have to be an official time set alone to study the Word of God. It's as we go. We're learning as we go. We're teaching as we go. We're worshiping as we go. And so the idea here that I kind of sort of stole from Billy Graham was this idea that as we go, and you think of this, this is a diagram, let's say, of a classroom. And if you're trying to tell your kids when they go to school, you're a missionary wherever you are. This could be your workplace. This could be your cubicle. And you're sitting around. This could be your neighborhood. This could be your home. And you've got neighbors all around you that as you go about your normal daily life, you look for people. Now, we don't have the foresight, the foreknowledge that God had, that Jesus had. But we can pray and ask God, say, God, you know where we will be. You know who we'll see. So as I go, help me to see the people you see. And so that's it. You just love people. I used to share with our students that if you're sitting in class, there are moments throughout a semester that stuff happens. If somebody next to you needs notes, maybe they're sick and they can't come to class that day. What if you take their notes for them and hand it to them when they get back? And sometimes if they don't already know you, they'll be blown away. Like, what are you doing? And you say, well, I know that you were out, you were sick. Sometimes maybe their parents passed away or something. They begin to see that you actually care for them. You're not just a fellow student. The same is true, like, if it's your neighbor, you reach out to them. We had some neighbors in our home in Tallahassee that the husband passed away years ago. So we had already had a relationship with the wife, but we had an opportunity then to, as we go, enter into her life. There are times when I know just several weeks ago, there was a young girl down in St. George Island, near there where we lived, and we would always go to this same Dollar General. Not a whole lot down there, but the Dollar General was, like they call it, the Walmart of the area. But there was one girl that I had noticed was pregnant. And it got to the point where she was ready to have the baby and she wasn't there. And I asked people how she was doing. And one day, another person who was doing some electrical work for us, he actually knew the girl and had been like a father figure to this girl. And he told me that she had lost the baby. So, it's the middle of the day. This guy's actually doing electrical work for us. I didn't stop what we were doing and kneel and pray. And I'm not meaning to be flipped by that, but as I was going, I was able to minister to him. And then as I was going, the next time I went to the Dollar General, I was able to minister briefly to the people that were there because I knew they were hurting. And they knew me as I came in every day. But as we go, we have the opportunity. And we just pray and say, God, I'm open. When you wake up in the morning, God, as I go today, I want you to use me. I want you to give me eyes to see. I want you to give me your heart for people. I don't know what I'm doing. It's not about training. We can train till we're blue in the face. But part of it, we just do it. We just follow Jesus and go where he goes. The second thing he says is, come follow me. A few weeks ago, I shared a little bit of my testimony. But today, I want to share a brief part of my daughter's testimony. When Rachel was almost 4 years old, my wife Amy was showing her a video called Who is Jesus? And Bruce Marciano, the picture of Jesus that you saw earlier, was Jesus in this movie. And just that picture of Jesus all throughout that movie, this man, this, you know, sometimes we see Jesus and we're like, man, Jesus is sad. You know? And you see all these different pictures of Jesus. We loved this picture. We loved this movie because he always had a smile on his face. I mean, that's what I picture Jesus as. When he sees the disciples in this movie, at one time, I think it was the blind man, he just grabs him and they fall on the ground and they're rolling and laughing. And that's the picture of Jesus. Yeah, he cleared out the temple when he had to. And he was sad. He cried. He teared up when he needed to. But that's the picture I see of Jesus. Well, in this movie, of course, they go through all the crucifixion and all that. And at the very end, he's doing this. He turns around, he looks to the viewer, and he motions like this. And Rachel said, Mama, what's he doing? And she said, he's saying, follow me. And Rachel, just like those little kids, almost 4 years old, said, Mama, I want to follow Jesus with my whole life. That's it. Like a little child. Luke 18:15 says, people were bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me, do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter into it. I don't know the words of that first song they sang, but that was pretty cool. I want to be like Jesus. That's what this message is about. I want to be like Jesus. And the way to be like Jesus is to follow Jesus, to imitate Jesus. So what does it mean to follow Him, and how do we do it? You know, part of it, jokingly, is the old Nike commercial. Just do it. You know, sometimes we like to make these things more complicated than they are. This is not some deep theological discussion. Just follow Jesus. Go where He goes, do what He does, listen and obey Him as you go. I think about how we do this. First of all, we do it spiritually. And sometimes we can kind of get lost in the weeds of the spiritual things. But basically, we follow Jesus as our priest. He is our high priest. We first have to follow Jesus spiritually. He is God. But we also have to follow Him relationally. In this case, He is a rabbi. I've heard preachers before say that you know, the difference between Jesus and other rabbis said they had people coming to them. And they could deny them or let them come. And it was all about them. It's like, I'm a rabbi. Well, you can follow me, but no, you can't. It was all about prestige. Jesus, this is a perfect example. He goes and seeks out people. Totally different than the rabbis then. He comes and seeks us out. He seeks us and says, come, follow me. I love this quote. I mentioned it. Well, before I go there, so spiritually, relationally, but also physically, and I would even say maybe behaviorally. Physically, the disciples here, when Jesus said, follow me, they physically followed Him. They walked where He walked. They did what He did. They were around Him all the time. They saw what He was doing. But also behaviorally, and that's really kind of where it comes in for us, maybe more so. We can't physically follow Jesus. We go where He tells us to go. But behaviorally, we want to adapt. We want to imitate. We want to, in our life, we want to model who Jesus is. That when they see us, they see a picture of Jesus. We're not perfect by any means. But I love, remember the quote I mentioned a couple of weeks ago from Robbie Gallaty? It says, a teacher shares information while a discipler shares life. That's the difference between the rabbis and Jesus. A teacher aims for the head while a discipler aims for the heart. Jesus knew their heart, but He loved them anyway. And He asked them to follow Him anyway. I mean, we would think, I know that guy. Ain't no way he's following me. But Jesus knew them and He still wanted them. He still wanted them to follow Him. A teacher measures knowledge while a discipler measures faith. A teacher is an authority while a discipler is a servant. Teacher says, listen to me, while a discipler says, follow me. So that's what Jesus is saying to those first disciples, and that's what He's saying to disciples now. Just follow me. Follow me, go where I go, do what I do. And the next thing He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now I love what it says in other translations. Some of you may be more familiar with the King James Version. It says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The Holman Christian Standard, which is this Bible I'm using, says, follow me and I will make you fish for people. But I love the Amplified. Listen to this. It says, follow me as my disciples, accepting me as your master and teacher, and walking the same path of life that I walk, and I will make you fishers of men. When we walk the same path that Jesus walks, we're going to know what He's doing. We're going to know how to do what He's doing. The Contemporary English Version says, come with me and I will teach you how to bring people, how to bring in people instead of fish. The Living Bible says, come along with me and I will show you how to fish for the souls of men. And the Message says, come with me, I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass. And I love this. They didn't ask any questions, but simply dropped their nets and followed. And so part of that question is maybe for some of you here today. You may have been in the church for a long time, but you've never actually followed Jesus. Billy Graham says that as many as, he believes, as many as 80% of the church could be lost. I mean, man, that's pretty tragic. That if you could sit in church for years and years and years and never actually know Jesus. You might have the head knowledge that you got from a teacher, but you don't have the heart knowledge. And Jesus is saying, follow me. Don't follow somebody else. Don't follow a teaching. Follow me. It's a personal invitation. So then his command, the Great Commission, could then say, go as you go, make disciples, followers, examples, imitators of me, and teaching them to obey and follow and imitate everything I've commanded you. So how does he make us fishers of men? Remember in Acts 1:8, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the parts of the world. So Jesus isn't saying, follow me, and you will become. He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So our responsibility is just to follow. And as we follow, as we go, he will make us fishers of men. Apart from him, we can do nothing. You and I can't make fishers of men. We can't make disciples. But he does promise that he will make disciples through us. Our purpose is to follow Christ and make disciples who follow Christ and make disciples. Who follow Christ and make disciples. And it just starts with the first part, follow. So I want to ask you guys two questions this morning. First, are you following Christ? Not your spouse, not your kid, not your neighbor. Right now, are you following Christ? If not, why not today? Why not, like Peter and Andrew, immediately drop whatever it is that's in your hands, on your mind, and follow him? The Bible says, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. That's it. Now, there are some things he wants us to do after that fact. But the first thing we do is surrender and just follow. So are you following Christ? And second, if you are following Christ, are you making disciples? If not, why not start today? So depending on where you might fit in that camp, I want to invite you to pray one or two prayers. And one is an offering of yourself. And the other is a request. But both are actually an acceptance of his invitation. First, God, I want to follow you. Like my daughter said, I want to follow you with my whole life. Now, I know any given church, on any given Sunday, any group of Christians, we all fall short of the glory of God. And there are times when our focus gets off of Jesus, that we're following, but somewhere along the way we've kind of taken our eyes off of him, and now our following has become busy, cluttered. And maybe we don't see Jesus as closely and intimately and passionately maybe as we did. Maybe we've gotten other things in between us and Jesus at times. So some of you, I just want to say, I know sometimes following, we get it confused with doing. And maybe we've just kind of gotten bogged down. Maybe circumstances in life have been discouraging. Maybe we're just worn out. So to the first person, I want to say, just surrender and follow Jesus. To the second person, I want to say, surrender and start following Jesus again. And the second thing is this. God, I want you to make me a fisher of men. I don't have the slightest clue how to start. But I know what you said. Follow me. And you promised that you would make me a fisher of men. We don't have to have all the answers. Yes, there's training that we can have. Yes, there are things. We can study with other people. We can have someone. I was talking to Juan earlier today. He's a pipe fitter in town working on a job. We've lost the idea in Christian circles of apprentices. Yesterday, Jim was working on his beehive and Sherry's brother mentioned to me, hey, you ought to get beekeeping in there somewhere. So for your brother, I told him I would. And that's where it ties in. We don't have this concept of apprenticeship anymore. Pipe fitters, electricians, and plumbers do. But that's what this was all about. Jesus went and found two ignorant fishermen and said, hey, I want you to drop what you're doing and follow me. And they did. They were apprentices under the teacher, under the rabbi. And that's all he wants us to do, is humble ourselves before him and say, Lord, you're the boss. You're my teacher. You're the one I know I need to follow. So I'm going to surrender today and follow you. Maybe for the first time. Maybe I'm going to surrender and follow you because I know I haven't really been following you for a while now. But I'm surrendering. I want to follow you. And I also want to make myself available. You promised that if I followed, that you would make me a fisher of men. So just pray one or both of those prayers. God, I want to follow. And God, I want you to make me a fisher of men. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that in our complicated world, you have a tendency to just really make things simple. We can get bogged down in deep discussions about you and about the Bible and life and other things. And it helps us to be grounded when we read a passage like this, that you just keep it simple and say, follow me. Our responsibility is to follow, to draw near to you, to seek you, to love you, to obey you, to listen to you, to do what we see you doing, to go where you want us to go, to be available. And you promised that you would make us fishers of men. So I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who doesn't yet know you, who hasn't yet surrendered their life and followed you, that today would be the day that they start that journey. And for those who are maybe discouraged and maybe worn out, I pray that you would infuse them with your Spirit today, that they might follow you more wholeheartedly than they have before. And I pray that you would make us all fishers of men for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.